That's paper eight.
Eight, eight.
Okay, so in conjunction with the actuarial evaluation process, it's also been important to look at the investment strategy at the same time to make sure the strategy is aligned to your objectives. Now we know how much is going to be going into contributions, that you're taking the right level of investment risk to balance that with a view of getting to a position where your funding level is on track, you're paying an affordable contribution rate, and you're basically kind of keeping things within a nice kind of steady bound in terms of investment risk is at the right level and the contributions at the right level. So this paper really just sets out kind of outline of the work that we do to kind of review the strategy. So the first thing is to say that we tend to do it in two stages. So first is a kind of higher level review, looking at the allocations you've got to different types of assets. So that means you've got higher return-seeking assets like equities and your diversified growth funds. The amount that you've got in diversifying assets that are focused more on income generation, so hopefully with property. And then the application you've got into what we refer as protection assets, so assets that move more about in line with your liabilities, so typically bonds, so you index your bonds. So the scope, and then once we have kind of set those kind of higher level applications, then into the detail of implementation. So the different mandates you have, the things like UK overseas equities, and that kind of implementation. So this really focuses first on what we cover as the kind of stage one and stage two. So a high level strategy, we really build on the content, the modelling that Peter's already done as part of evaluation, but look at a bit more granular basis in terms of the detail of investment strategies and other variables. So things that we can look at might be, okay, the funding level say 95% now. If we saw improvement, say it was up 105, what would that mean for the investment strategy? Should you be doing something at that point that says maybe you should take a lower level of investment risk? So part of the modelling, we can look at that variability and actually help you identify points in which you might change the investment strategy if you will do it right now. Another point, kind of bottom of page one, where I hope it's about new entrants. So an important part of this is thinking about how the membership is going to change. So are we going to see new people come in to replace people leaving service? And what does that do to salary? A big influence that has is on the net cash flow position. So something that we'll get out of the analysis is actually you know, what the net cash flow position is of the scheme to understand what the income requirements might be from the assets that you hold. We've outlined some potential variations of the strategy that we've looked at as part of modelling in school. Again, we can agree and finalise these with the officers, but the kind of key things that we're looking at is shifts from the current allocation, which has 70% in growth assets, 89%, 22% what we think is protection assets, corporate bonds. And what happens if you, what happens if you shifted them into, say, income assets, and maybe new asset classes, things like infrastructure and private debt, or multi-asset credit? So won't we working to introduce, you know, understanding what these asset classes are as part of the process, and then model the potential impact. We'll also look at variations of actually creating money out of growth and into more lower risk assets, so protection assets, what's the impact and do that. So that's a kind of broad framework of the types of variations we'll look at as part of the review, and it'll give you that information to basically test the success and risk of these different strategies. So if we go back to Peter's earlier chart of the witch's hat, what we effectively want to do with the modelling is saying, can we move the witch's hat on that return line? And can we change the shape of the witch's hat? Can we make it pointier that we want to basically narrow the range of outcomes? So that's basically what the modelling will help do, is understand what the implications are from these different strategies on your likelihood of achieving objectives and the level of risk that you're taking. I've never used the witch's hat before, but it works quite well. So, both the witch's hat on or change the shape of it.
It depends on the investment portfolio. If it's like that, it's not a witch's hat. You have to come up with an alternative.
Stage two is then trying to look at the detail. Once we've got those kind of big allocations, how do you implement the detail? So, looking at different mix of, say, growth assets. So, Kevin earlier on, you talked about the Access platform and all the different funds that they've launched for the various access funds. We want to look at the mix of funds that are available, things, well, could we do something better that helps, you know, manage the risk even within the different component parts? Within the growth allocation, are there a different mix of styles and approaches that we can do that we look at to give you a better investment solution? Income assets, so new asset classes like infrastructure and private debt, what they can potentially do and what the implementation options are. Something that Kevin touched on was active and passive management. So at the moment you are slowly actively managed. Are you happy that that's the most efficient way to access markets, or do you want to revisit that? Things can be accessed on a passive basis, which might be cheaper, but has kind of other considerations, because if you invest passively, you're holding every stock in the index, and that can have consideration, particularly when you think about responsible investment, if you're holding everything, then you need to be comfortable that you're engaging properly as an asset owner, if you're investing on that basis. Another thing about just mentioning that is responsible investment considerations. So understanding whether that should be influencing strategy in terms of the way that you implement, but we've also the option of, through that kind of which is at the distribution of outcomes, we can actually pick out some scenarios that might happen under different climate policy kind of environments and say, what might that do to the funding level in those different environments, and therefore, how does that inform your thinking about an investment strategy in the way that you want to look at? And the final part is we need to frame this all. We've talked before about the importance of investment beliefs. So different committees can have quite similar objectives in terms of, if you go back to CMA paper, about things like, you know, maintaining affordable funding levels, maintaining stable contributions, but actually it's investment beliefs that will dictate the way that you implement your strategy, and that can really vary from committee to committee. So an important overlay in this is understanding that we still are kind of comfortable with what your investment beliefs are, and we're using that to shape the way that we implement your investment strategy. So again, that would be a key part of the review process, that we're consistently applying those beliefs in the way that we talk to you about strategy and some of the decisions. So see, this is the initial outline, and the intention is to come back in subsequent meetings where we'll get a stage two analysis, a stage one and a stage two analysis.
Do we have any questions?
Just a couple of statements. We were intending to start off the investment strategy work and learning and development this afternoon in terms of having a workshop around asset classes, but unfortunately we were unable to do that, so we have to defer that to another day, but we will be coming back to that. So it's not just a case of us officers and advisors turning around and saying we are going to do this in non-UK specified something. We will explain those to you, because it's ultimately the pension fund committee that agrees the decision, so we will carry out some workshops and understand those, that modelling and the different asset classes. In terms of responsible investment and environment, social and governance work and climate change, there's been a couple of really interesting conferences that I've been to over the last couple of weeks in terms of, does climate change matter to an extent in terms of investment strategies, and how you can shape your investment strategy by building in investment climate change considerations. I think there's a requirement, isn't there, in the new guidance that's coming out, that we're going to have a special statement on climate change.
We are kind of still awaiting guidance from the Scheme Advisory Board, so I attend the Investment Engagement and Governance Subcommittee. So there was some draft guidance that's been kind of kicking about for a while as to what you need to include in your investment strategy statement. And I believe very much that there's already a requirement to see what you're doing on engagement. As a, you know, an engagement voting, a responsible investment, I believe they'll definitely put a statement directly on including climate change in that. So there will be a requirement there to address that.
So one of the sessions at one of the conferences I attended was, what's the point of a pension if the planet's not going to be here? So, you know, you can take that from how you like, but there are a lot of, and I think this is where the discussions were really helpful, there are quite a few sort of passively managed funds out there that track a climate change index. So you've got your FTSE index and things like that. They've got there's fund managers out there that have done loads of climate change and environmental analyses, and they've identified a good pot of funds that you could invest in to fulfil your climate change agenda. So we, that might be something that we want to look at in terms of putting some allocation into a climate specific or an ESG or an RI specific fund to see what it does. But the indications are that responsible investment and environmental social investment considerations don't have a significant impact on portfolio returns, and so therefore it's something that we can't ignore, but it's not necessarily something we need to jump into with both feet, I think. And the other thing that they've been talking about quite a lot is around responsible investment. So in terms of passive investment, your 408 stock index, you've got to hold the stocks that are in that index. But if you're an active manager, you'd make a choice as to which stocks you invest in, and you look at those and you engage with those fund managers, the companies that you invest in. So I think some of our challenge that we've identified in the past is we need to be challenging more, as well as looking at what the investment returns are doing. It's also how are the fund managers and how are the in stocks that they're investing in challenging in terms of, are they taking into account environmental considerations? Are they voting against policies that could be of disbenefit to the various elements of that area? So I think there's a lot of work that we need to do. We'll be working behind the scenes quite closely, we're very closely with David and Peter and the teams to marry up the funding and the investment strategy, and we'll keep reporting back to you on that as it goes.
Chris and Barbara.
Yes.
Yes, it's another area which, Barbara, could you pull the mic closer to you? Thank you.
Another area which the SAB is saying that government's likely to include is cybersecurity. And it's not just our cybersecurity, it's the cybersecurity of our fund managers. And this is something that should be included in our investment strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Any
other
questions?
Yes.
Chair, through you, I note in David's paper he's posing the committee a question and whether we want to include climate change additional modelling in the work that's going to proceed going forward. So it would be useful to get a view from the committee before we close.
Could you
put your
mic on?
Maybe
what Chris said.
I'll repeat that. I note in the report, there's an element in the report from David that asks the committee the question, should the future work that needs to be undertaken also include additional climate change modelling? And I just think it's worth the committee reflecting on that and giving a response to that before we close.
Yes, Steve.
Obviously, you know, from the point of view that climate change is very important to take into consideration. We talked about the 18-year-old joining the scheme now, and the underlying term alcohol or the fund, that 18-year-old and then dying, it would be talking perhaps for 70, 80 years with consideration. So it is a very long-term consideration for the fund itself. And I think that marries up perfectly with the threats to the climate world. So I think that to really go hand in hand.
I think, Chris, your comments are noted, and at committee we have talked in the past about environmentally friendly, which obviously is climate change in a different phrase. And however, we do have to remember, and this the committee have agreed in the past, our main concern is to provide money for the pension scheme. So we have to take things slowly, but at the same time, as you say, we have to bear in mind climate change. But our prime duty is to supply money to the pension scheme. And as a committee, this was agreed, I think, at our last meeting. However, as Joe just pointed out, or somebody pointed out, we're not around to enjoy the benefits of the pension scheme. But certainly, as a committee, in the past, I think there's no doubt about it, we are all very well aware of our position and attitude towards climate change. And I think I would be right in saying, and perhaps Hyman's could confirm this, that we have deleted certain asset classes in the past. No, we haven't.
No. We've currently, our policy is to delegate to our existing fund managers to implement their environmental social governance strategies. We have never dictated, we've never set our own ESG policy, which is something that we've mentioned a number of times, and we have always said we will do it. This, I think, is an excellent opportunity to actually formulate that. When we did our investment beliefs work back in, whenever it was, ages ago, we did put some RI, responsible investment, objectives in to say that ESG issues can have, we acknowledge that ESG issues can have a material impact on the long-term performance of investments. Financial considerations carry the same weight as non-financial considerations. Long-term sustainable investment returns are an important consideration, and responsible ownership of companies benefits long-term asset owners. So we've kind of said we're acknowledging that it's important. I think given the importance and the high level of focus of climate change at the moment, I think it's absolutely key that we address that as part of the modelling considerations within our investment strategy.
Yes, so we put that as a suggestion, as an option. We're not claiming that we can model climate change. If our head of responsible investment, Simon, can do that, he would probably go elsewhere and made a lot of money, and we're quite able to do that. But what we are suggesting is that doing some of this scenario analysis will help inform the committee in terms of the financial impact of different climate-related scenarios on the pension fund. So we've done it for a number of clients, we put it as an option. Personally, I think it's a good opportunity to just help inform you in terms of, in these different climate scenarios, this is the impact that might actually have on the liability side and also the assets, and then that can inform the financial decisions you make about the investment strategy and the assets.
Yeah. Any other comments? No. If we move on to the last item on the agenda, may I